Long before recorded history, a fireball with a blazing tail streaked across the sky and landed in Flagstaff County. The Manitou Stone, also known as the Iron Creek Meteorite, among several other names, is a sacred chunk of pitted and polished iron whose shape appears to reveal the profile of a face. Studies have determined that this space rock is more than 4 billion years old. Of course, its ancient history is shrouded in mystery. More recently, in the 1860s, the chestnut-colored stone was stolen from the land by a Methodist missionary. After several relocations over the years, it is currently housed in the Royal Alberta Museum in Edmonton. 2 months ago, on September 30th, the government of Alberta announced that the meteorite would be returned to its historic location in the near future. You're listening to the official podcast of Flagstaff County. Hello and welcome to what promises to be a very interesting episode of the Flagstaff County Podcast. I'm Kerry Castagna, Communications Coordinator for Flagstaff County, and I am joined today by Charlene Chevreau. Welcome, Charlene.
Thank you.
For those who don't know you, you are a retired high school English teacher who owns Crafty Creations in Killam.
Yes, that's true.
Anything else you want to say about yourself? I know you're very involved in the community.
Well, I just like helping people. That's what I do, I hope.
So let's talk about the Manitou Stone. I understand that you had a hand in bringing the meteorite back to Alberta. How did that unfold?
When I was a girl, I was working in my dad's grocery store, and one of our customers was a man by the name of Martin Jacobs, who actually was one of the very first pioneers to come to the Killam area. He and his family arrived in 1903, long before there was any other settlements around. And Martin used to tell me about the Manitou Stone that he said landed on his land along Iron Creek. And he told me that he knew that on the basis of visits from the natives who would come around and visit him as he was setting up his farm and getting established here. I had no reason to doubt that he knew, because he arrived in 1903. The stone left there in 1866, so it wasn't that many years ago. Anyway, I was always fascinated by his story. And then later on, I was the editor of the $10 Bets, which was the first history book for Killam. And the story of the Manitou Stone cropped up again and again piqued my interest and some of the people who were helping me with that book. So we began searching for what had happened to it, discovered that it was actually at that time in the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto, being described as a meteorite found at Iron Creek, Saskatchewan. And that was a little puzzling until we thought about it and then realized that Alberta and Saskatchewan were once all of the Saskatchewan territory. They didn't know the story of the Manitou Stone and its importance to the Indigenous people here in those days. So we told them, and then we began lobbying to try and get it back to Alberta, where we felt it really belonged. In that quest, I wrote a lot of letters. I engaged the help of Ralph Sorensen, who was the current MLA from Killam in the legislature. And he went to Horst Schmidt, who was the Minister of Culture at that point. And between the three of us, we managed to get it back to Alberta in May 1973. And at that time, they had a big celebration, introducing it to everybody, invited a lot of people, and I was invited to speak to that because I had been instrumental in getting it. Yeah. It was gone for a little over 100 years because MacDougall took it in 1866. Wasn't in Ontario that long. It sat at the Victoria mission for a number of years.
And that's kind of near present-day Smoky Lake, is that correct? Or?
Yep, it's up in there.
Okay.
Along the banks of the North Saskatchewan River. So that's how it came back. It was for a time at the Royal Alberta Museum, and then was at the TELUS, World of Science, for a while. And then when the new museum was put in place, it went back to the Alberta Museum.
Yeah, that's where it's been ever since.
Yeah.
So, Charlene, what else can you tell us about the Manitou Stone?
In 1886, Mr. A.P. Coleman, an outstanding Canadian geologist, made the original analysis for the Royal Society of Canada. He found it to be a meteorite weighing 386 pounds, which makes it the largest single chunk ever recovered in Canada up until that time. It may now have been surpassed in size and weight. In appearance, it is like a great concave lens, 2 feet wide, 15 inches high, and 8 inches thick. Its reddish-brown surface has the smooth flowing irregularity of melting plastic. The composition of it is solid metal, composed of 91.33% iron, 8.33% nickel, and 0.49% cobalt. The specific gravity is 7.784.
All right. We should point out that meteorites, having fallen from the heavens, are seen as sacred objects to many Indigenous nations. The Manitou Stone, of course, was no exception. Early explorers noted that the ancient meteorite had great significance for the Indigenous in the Flagstaff region. Cree and Blackfoot made pilgrimages to it before bison hunts. The area around it became a gathering place for ceremonies. Tribal elders recognized its immense spiritual power and felt it protected the people. Of course, the provincial government's announcement that the Manitou Stone is to be returned to its historic location came on September 30th, the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. The Alberta government has previously voiced its commitment to returning sacred ceremonial objects to Indigenous communities. Now, plans are in the works for a prayer and interpretive center close to the stone's original location. Now, Charlene, I'd like to find out, where would you like to see the Manitou Stone go? Because I've seen several different locations that people believe over the years where it landed. The original site is disputed. I mean, I know most people do agree that it fell somewhere near the Iron Creek, but I've seen north of Killam and as far as northeast of Hardesty, there's been belief that it fell near the Straw Stack Hill, which is just northeast of Lougheed. So, Charlene, where did it fall, as far as you know, and where would you like to see the Manitou Stone relocated to?
Well, I don't have any scientific knowledge because my story is based on Martin Jacobs' stories, but he was north and east of Killam, along the banks of the Iron Creek. So if I was to believe what he told me, that would be much closer to Killam than it would be to Hardesty. I know there have been several expeditions along the Iron Creek, and I know there have been rumors based on all of the places that you've mentioned. I don't have any scientific knowledge for it. I would like to see it closer to the middle of the county, at least, before it goes all the way to the Hardesty area. And I don't understand what the basis for that is. For years and years, there was a sign along Highway 36, north of Killam, pointing to the original location of the Iron Creek meteorite. When they redid that highway, they removed the sign for the purpose of the construction, and it's never come back. And I'm not sure what was the basis for that decision, but it was a sad day for me when they did that, because that was at least an acknowledgement that it had been here. Iron Creek looks pretty pathetic these days. It's a very small little creek now. But I believe that it was much bigger when that thing originally landed here. And it was, as I understand, worshipped by Native people all across the prairies, not just in this area. It was considered to be the face of Manitou. And if you look at the actual stone, you can see not only the profile of a man's face, but you can see faces on the surface of that rock in many ways. It's a very interesting piece, and it's the largest meteorite in Canada.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It has scientific importance as well as legendary and religious significance to people.
And I think it would be great for Flagstaff County to have the stone back here where it fell originally. What would it mean to you to have it back in the Flagstaff region?
Well, I think it's really important. It's an interesting debate. They've had that debate for years and years. And the decision up until September 30th was always that it should remain in the provincial museum where it was accessible to all of the native people in the province rather than isolated in a smaller area. And there was always concern about how would the natives be able to look after it if it was placed outside, for example. Now they seem to have done something about that in the sense that they are making a site and an interpretive center which will harbor it and protect it. I think it would be wonderful if it came here. I know I just worried along with the government originally that we might not be able to look after it. And vandals and so on can destroy things that have been there for hundreds and thousands of years. And so I'm hoping that if this building comes, that they will staff it properly, that they will actually look after it so it can't be vandalized and it can remain as significant as it was. When the Wesleyan missionary, McDougall, took it away, I'm not sure about his methods or his reasoning. I suspect he was trying to convince the native people that it had no power, that it was not the symbol that they believed it was. Mm-hmm. And all of the explorers that had come through and talked about it had talked about how the natives had believed in its powers. I think he took it because he wanted to prove that they were wrong. But they did predict among the people that there would be war, disease, and famine following its removal. And every one of those things happened over the years. They were horrendous. Yeah. So if he thought he was going to prove that the stone had no power, in effect, he proved the opposite in a lot of people's minds.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. I love the story of the Manitou Stone. I just think it's an amazing story, and I understand that it is an Indigenous story, but I also think it's a people story, an Alberta
for sure.
story. Yeah.
And there's so much mystery behind it. I see it as a great tourist attraction. Maybe it'll bring people out to the Flagstaff region. I mean, you know, I'm going to be very happy to see it when it does arrive. We haven't seen a lot of details yet from the government. They announced that just as Jason Kenney was leaving, hopefully it comes to fruition sooner than later now. And they did talk about the $10 million interpretive center that they're going to build. It sounds great. It's short on the details right now. We don't know exactly where it's going to go. I've been in touch with the provincial government, and I'm just kind of waiting to hear back on some details of the exact location that we're looking at. So when you mentioned Martin Jacobs, is he close to Strawstack Hill, or is that?
I don't know where Strawstack Hill is.
It's just northeast of Lougheed, so
no,
it
no,
wouldn't be
Martin
that far east.
No, Martin Jacobs was very much in the Killam area. That was his community. That's where he originally came, and so it was much closer to Killam, north and east, though, along the banks of the Iron Creek.
Yeah, I was just reading something even earlier today that there's some suggestion there might have been a second one that fell, but no one ever found it.
Yes, I've heard those rumors, but I haven't got any solid information about whether it was true or not. There's never been anything to my knowledge that's been found to make that true. So, and Martin, as I say, used to tell that story and fascinated me with it because he talked about the natives coming and visiting and telling him about the site and the fact that it had been stolen. and taken away. It went to Victoria Mission on the North Saskatchewan River with McDougall.
Yeah.
And stayed there for a number of years before he sent it by Red River cart to Ontario. And it was interesting that they knew nothing about the historic significance of that stone until we told them. So we told them the story. And then we had to beg to borrow it. They lent it to Alberta for a number of years before they finally passed ownership on to Alberta, made it more permanent. But the original deal was we'd get it for a little while, and then we'd have to send it back.
So, and you said you kind of had mixed emotions then when you heard that it was coming back to the Flagstaff region?
I do. I mean, I think it'd be wonderful if it became a place like the some of the other historic sites in Alberta. Head Smashed Inn is a wonderful place where you can see and hear and experience all kinds of things that happened in the Native life, and a real educational center. If that's what we're going to do here with this stone, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That would be really wonderful.
We just got to do it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not just bring it out and leave it to molder away in obscurity.
Well, I think it's taken this long. It's they're going to do a good job of it, I hope, anyway.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I guess you've seen the Manitou Stone on a few occasions then?
Many occasions, yes.
Right up close and personal. What are your feelings when you are in its presence?
A sense of real awe once it's come from so far away. It was originally described as shiny black, but over the years I think it's oxidized, and so it's a pretty creamy brown. It's very, it's hard to describe because the rock is actually smooth and yet it's cratered all over. And there's so many faces. There's the main profile on the stone, but there, you look carefully at the real stone and you can find all kinds of other faces in there. I can certainly understand why the Indigenous people saw that as the face of the what I understand was their god, Manitou, which is where the name
came from. The creator, yeah.
The creator, yes. Yep. So, yeah, it's quite an inspiring thing. And the fact that it's come from so far away and landed here probably thousands of years ago. Legends tell us that they used to take sweet grass and other things and pray there. And I also understood, I mean, Indigenous people would have to verify this because this is, again, rumor for me, but that there was no war within the site of that stone, that they declared a peace within that area, even though those tribes might have been at war outside of that range and at that time. One of the powers they believed that stone had was to bring peace.
And then what? Any other feelings you have when you're in its presence?
Just awe.
Yeah.
Absolute awe. It's an amazing, amazing rock.
Yeah.
And
out of this world.
Yes. It came up from out of this world. I mean, it also has great scientific significance. It's one of the most amazing. It's almost pure iron.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it is as large as it is, most of those meteorites that come into our atmosphere burn up. They land. They don't, you know, they burn up in the environment before they ever hit the land. One person suggested, oh, there'd been a big crater. Well, it's not big enough to have made a big crater. Made a small dent that was there, but it was certainly visible to people as they came around. They found it. They looked at it, saw that it was had the faces of a human, and believed it was the face of their creator. That's my understanding.
And it's right here in our backyard.
Yes. Yeah. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
As long as they protect it, as long as they make it an interpretive center, staff it and make it something worthwhile. And tell the stories. And it's an opportunity, I think, for the Indigenous people then to also showcase other aspects of their lives on the prairie.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we don't have much of here. There aren't a lot of Indigenous people living within the county of Flagstaff.
Not anymore, yeah, no, for sure.
No, and so our children don't learn their story in the same way that they might be if they were closer to one of the other sites. If their families take them to the museum in Edmonton, they'll learn it. This story, actually, of the Manitou Stone is told in the grade 4 social studies curriculum.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And there's a picture of it there. My granddaughter was teaching that, and I went as a guest speaker to her class when she was teaching in Paradise Valley. That was fun.
Huh. So is there anything else you'd like to add or anything I'm forgetting to ask you? Or?
I just... I'm glad that something positive is happening with the stone, that it's not just being forgotten. I was a little sad to find out that it had been kind of isolated in the museum and mentioned as only an Indigenous sacred space. Because yeah. I think it has power and influence and value for all of us, not just the Indigenous people.
Yeah. And it's quite the connection to history.
It is.
To the past.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the fact that it happened here has always fascinated me.
Well, thank you very much, Charlene. I appreciate your time, and we'll definitely be watching this story closer as it unfolds, and the Manitou Stone returns home.
Yes. I'll look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll be right back.